Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm sure you have used the services of Aldi at some stage in the last 25 years. From lawnmowers to ski suits to foot massagers, there's something for everyone in the middle aisle of Aldi. The German discounter is celebrating 25 years in Ireland. And while it took some time to get used to the speedy checkouts, they've become a staple store across Ireland with 161 premises. But how much did their arrival change the Irish market? Dennis O'Hara is the director of the Masters in Consumer Psychology at University of Galway, and he joins me now. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, John. Lovely to be with you today.
Thank you. So tell me this, how disruptive were Aldi, and I guess Lidl as well, to the Irish market all those years ago?
Well, I think the first thing you have to think about with Aldi and Lidl is that their chances of penetrating the Irish market were pretty low. Retail is one of the toughest businesses out there, and it's more characterized by consolidation than by disruption. If you look over time, it's just so hard to break in to the average consumer's wallet. So they got in through the German model of efficient shopping, where they used low cost as their way in, and they were often, if you think of the main items, they were characterized by a limited variety, of their typically mostly their own brands, and then they gradually added known brands to that mix over the years. So it's a very interesting model.
Yeah,
and it was nothing like what we had here at the time, I think.
No, it certainly wasn't. And I do remember them coming. And look, I don't want to be pejorative or, indeed trouble either of their defamation lawyers. But at the sense, and you tell me, at the time, was there a sense that this was, to borrow that phrase from something we had before, yellow pack retailer, that it was cheap and kind of a little grimy, for want of a better phrase?
Well, it's any time something's low priced, we have that concern, right? Mm. What corners have been cut in order to give me this price, right? And so, and particularly also when we were fans of our current shops and our current merchants, we're looking at the new entrant, thinking, okay, how can it be any good if it's that price? And so, at the same time, low cost is a way to encourage consumption and to encourage exploration. And so once people started to try some of the brands, sometimes sneaking in and not telling anyone to get their one item of shopping. And I think they gradually lured people in, and some people were closet Aldi shoppers a long time before they admitted it at the dinner table,
Yeah. And look, I don't want to turn this into down to business with Bobby Kerr, because you might be qualified for one of those discussions, but I'm certainly not. But in terms of how then and now they're able to do it cheaper than the others, is it because they certainly in the beginning didn't have as fancy a layout?
Well, a lot of it is just the amount of produce that they buy in huge bulk, and then they also limit their variety. So, whereas you might go to another retailer and expect it to have 10 different brands of baked beans or 10 different brands of jam, they didn't go that way. One of the features that characterizes both Aldi and Lidl are these bold decisions that really, in a sense, are ahead of where the consumer are at. Like, we don't always know what we want as consumers. And so it's what characterizes some of their decisions is really giving us what we need even before we wanted it. And I think that's very interesting. And it really demonstrates a real some very enlightened thinking around the consumer in Aldi. So by limiting your variety, that limit that gives you greater purchase power with those suppliers that you're working with. By buying in bulk, again, that increases your purchasing power. And they are known as being, very aggressive in terms of their negotiation, as all retailers are. So that's, I think, how they manage to get provide low costs to the consumer is that they primarily reduce their cost of buying then, as you said, if they're not spending extra money on, you know, fancy layouts and fancy trimmings, fancy fixtures, well, then that does also reduce costs. And they tend to send any of those cost reductions straight to the consumer in order to increase that consumer loyalty.
Mm. So in a way, and I mean, this is in your wheelhouse in terms of teaching the psychology of consumerism, they've removed the burden of choice. So if I want to buy peanut butter, yeah, and I'm thinking of a large German discount retailer that I regularly go to myself, there mm-hmm. is only one peanut butter there, if I'm not mistaken, if, yeah, if you want the crunchy kind, and who doesn't, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that when you're looking for, if you don't always want variety, you want if you want to get in and out, get your shopping done, and you know what you want, you don't really want to be distracted by a brighter range of things. What's interesting about Aldi though is they mix that, right? So you can see a kind of a needs-based shopping that's facilitated by few brands, few brands, few options of each type. But then they also have the middle aisle, the famous middle aisle that we all joke about, and that is more the want. It's more the discovery. You don't know what you're going to find there, so that explores a different part of consumption. So that's the, you know, I've got an extra 5 minutes today for my shop. I'll have a look at what's in the middle aisle. I'll have a little dawdle and see what's there.
Yeah.
And so they've gotten me in because I want to get all my shopping done. I'm doing it so quickly. I've got the bit of extra time, and then I can now delay and have that discovery experience in the middle aisle. And so I think it shows a very enlightened view of how consumption happens and what consumers sometimes want, even though they don't want it. They don't know they want this.
Yeah, and that middle aisle, you know, it's a work of genius, you would have to say. And so from what you're saying, though, I mean, it sounds like Aldi and Lidl, and maybe they all do, but they spent a lot of time with people like you in terms of consumer psychologists, figuring out how, you know, the shopping mind works nearly, because it seems like the middle aisle is something that was studied and tried and tested.
Oh yeah, and they also they're even though they're in many different countries, they are slightly different across all these localities. The United States Aldi is different from the Irish, which is different from the UK. They're characterized by endless research on what's working and what isn't in what they're doing, and of course that's how you stay on top of things. They didn't introduce known brands like, you know, well-known baked beans and so on by chance. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew what you know consumers might have been looking for, what they were asking for. And then if they can get it at the right price, they pop it in, knowing that, you know, keeping you coming to their store is what they want to do. They want to keep you loyal. And then they're great at capturing, you know, in terms of the marketing side, the playfulness of their marketing. Again, it kind of reminds you of someone like Ryanair. But they deliberately go out there and with playful marketing to try and, again, attract you in. Don't take us too seriously. There's a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
That also characterizes, again, insight into the consumer.
Yeah, there are a couple of texts coming in because people do love to shop in all sorts of places. If Aldi is so cheap, why are they not in the north? I'm not sure if you can answer that, Dennis, but there you go. And then years ago on YouTube, there was a funny song on about Aldi, sung in a pub down the country. I don't remember that, but hopefully some of our listeners will. Dennis, tell me this then, that the aisles, or so not the aisles, the checkouts, they changed that a bit as well. And still to this day, you know, and we don't have to get into names, but there are some supermarkets I'm in and you feel you can be languid in it. Whereas in Lidl or Aldi, you do feel, you know, let's get your stuff on the belt and let's get it through and let's get it. Like they've changed the till system.
Yeah, you feel like, you know, doing a couple of quad exercises, you're pulling them up before you get, you know, before your shopping is at the end so that you're ready for action.
Yeah,
and that's always been there, that, you know, there isn't anywhere for the shopping to go once it goes past the shop assistant. So they've always done that. It's, as you say, it's slightly different. They used to used to be able to kind of take it to the window. It's a little bit different from that now. But where many of the other retailers are doing shop assistant, there's no shop assistants. They're doing automated checkouts.
Yeah,
you know, Aldi retain that person in the mix, which is, it's very interesting. It's obviously, again, and it's not by, they don't do anything by accident. It must be working for them to have a person there instead.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And tell me this, you know, you mentioned the idea of almost a, you know, the closeted Aldi user in the early days and admitting it, I've something to tell you, I'm going to Aldi. But it seems to me in my travels, it's almost done an about turn. People shop in Aldi and Lidl with pride, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that they, Aldi and Lidl have been big on how much they use Irish produce, and that can be front and centre. But it seems, and again, you know, I choose my words carefully, but for want of a better phrase, they've become very middle class.
I think they've become something for everyone, really. Mm. You can see there's they connect with the schools, they connect with rugby. They do a lot of work in building their connection with communities, both the local communities where, you know, and the broader Irish community. And that's all, you know, all of that work has put them in a place where people can be, you know, can be proud to shop there. I think we in Ireland, we always love to feel like we're ahead or we've got some inside track. So, you know, if you can get something cheaper and it's just as good, mm-hmm. we love to talk about that, especially if it's in a way that people don't expect, and to show how clever we are to each other. I think we love that. And again, so I think that's part of this, the new way we talk about Aldi.
Yeah. And tell me this, Dennis, just in closing then, in terms of, you know, you teaching students down in University of Galway, a master's in consumer psychology, do you find the young people in your class are very conscious of these things? It seems to me that from, you know, my children are a bit younger than college going age, but in terms of, they're a lot more price conscious than you or I would have been when we were their age, it seems to me. But you tell me.
I haven't actually identified that as a difference. I do know that what I have noticed with that group is that they're highly sensitive to experience. So they are very much into purchasing experiences rather than goods. That would be something I've definitely seen with my 20, we get a range of ages, but the 20 to 30 year old people that I'm speaking to typically are highly sensitive to what it's like, purchasing experiences, really thinking about what am I spending my time doing? I want to be doing something that I value, and putting their money there where I might have, you know, tried to get an object and or I might purchase something and kind of say, oh, I have something tangible for my money. The classic difference being, you know, buying a DVD versus, you know, paying for Spotify or a streaming service, you know. That's the classic, I think, of it, the difference. They're much more willing to pay for experience than we were. I think in terms of price sensitivity, those of us who have a list and follow the list and are very, you know, if it's not on the list, it's not getting bought, we're obviously quite price sensitive. But the middle aisle can be, you know, sometimes it's getting you there for price sensitivity, but that, remember, we're often buying things we don't really need, you know, that power washer that you imagine would be essential is gathering dust in many sheds.
I know what you're saying when it comes to head scratchers and stuff like that, but I did find the whole power washer thing. There's this strange, we're going down a rabbit hole here, Dennis, and it's the wrong time in the interview to bring this up, but power hosing, it's meditative. Like, I'm not a good power hoser. I started using it and there's just something, you know, lovely about it. It's like you forget yourself when you're taking dirt off a wall. But anyway, that is a rabbit hole we possibly can't investigate. There are lots of people getting in touch. We will bring you more of those. But Dennis, I better leave you back to the students or the preparations of the class. That is Dennis O'Hara, who's the director of the Masters in Consumer Psychology at the University of Galway. Dennis, thanks a million.
Thank you very much, John.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.